Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome to the show. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben in Greenville, South Carolina. We're so glad you joined us this morning for this edition of the program on the Tyranny Response Network. You can reach us by telephone today at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We also welcome your questions and comments by email, and you may send them to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Thanks so much for joining us again this morning. This is the fourth week of the Tyranny Response Network's existence, and we're happy to be able to present this this talk show to you. This is a talk show for thinking people. It's not a talk show like other talk shows. In fact, it's very unique, very uncommon in its format and in its content. While other people talk about a lot of light stuff and airy stuff, fluff stuff, and certainly a lot of the political blather of the day, on this show you're going to hear deep issues discussed in significant detail, especially coming from a Christian worldview, because we at the Tyranny Response Network believe that Christians have failed to be deep thinkers, have become gullible puppets of the so-called neoconservative right, the Republican Party, and have failed in their mission as Christians and to the church to uphold the high standards of the gospel of Christ. And so we want Christians to become leaders and thinkers beyond or par excellence, beyond above and beyond the rank and file in society, and this program is dedicated to that advancement. We also have many folks who listen to us who do not profess to be Christians, and we're very happy that you, if you're in that camp, that you've joined us as well. And the reason you listen to us is not necessarily for the Christian content, but because we have strong free market convictions and just a radio talk show ministry that is deep thinking. You get tired of the typical blather you hear on other stations elsewhere, and this is your island, your Mecca, your relief from all of the other light and airy types of talk show forums. So we're very thankful you joined us today, and your phone calls are welcome at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Well, we want to start the show, as we did last week, every day with at least one or two quotes from P.J. O'Rourke, who is a famed libertarian-slash-Republican columnist and humorist, and has been for many years a very interesting person to read. I will have to say that if you do decide to go out and get any of P.J.'s books, you'll have to read them with caution, because they do contain things that would be offensive to some people, in fact, to most Christians, I would assume. But as God tells Jeremiah in the Bible, if you separate the precious from the vile, you shall be as my mouth. And so here we have P.J. O'Rourke saying this morning, "I am a registered Republican to consider socialism a violation of the American principle that you shouldn't stick your nose in other people's business except to make a buck." A cute comment about republicanism today. He says elsewhere, "In fact, safety has no place anywhere. Everything that's fun in life is dangerous. Horse races, for instance, are very dangerous, but attempt to design a safe horse and the result is a cow, an appalling animal to watch at the trotters. And everything that isn't fun is dangerous too. It's impossible to be alive and be safe." That comes from a book, The Republican Party Reptile, The Confessions, Adventures, Essays, and Other Outrages of P.J. O'Rourke. But isn't it interesting that the religious left, as well as leftists in general, like to laud this idea of having a safe environment and somehow be perfectly safe in the world from death, chaos, sickness, mayhem, and so forth. You simply cannot do this efficiently and economically, and a lot of folks don't realize that. They think that you have sort of a Star Trek existence where everything is free. No one has to produce. Have you ever noticed that about Star Trek, by the way, and that whole series? No one ever works. unless you consider sitting on the bridge working. No one actually goes out and produces the food. No one actually makes the clothing. Everything just appears out of nothing. And no one actually has to go to work. It's a communist sort of a system where the elite enjoy certain benefits at the expense of the hidden masses. Well, at any rate, beware when you're watching Star Trek that you don't get indoctrinated with a bunch of, if you watch Star Trek, with a bunch of socialist principles. The idea of having perfect safety in the world is a myth that socialists dream of. We cannot have perfect safety and have production at the same time. Now, we know for a fact that 40,000 people can be spared this year from auto accidents if a public policy were undertaken to simply ban automobile use. You just pass a proactive legislation that says nobody's allowed to drive or even own a car or a truck. As soon as you do that, you can guarantee the salvation of 40,000 lives. And that would be a step towards perfect safety, in a sense, wouldn't it? Well, you'd be perfectly safe from automobile deaths and accidents. But is it really worth doing that, folks? Why don't we all of a sudden say, yeah, 40,000 people, that's a lot of people to die. Why don't we go ahead and stop it? I believe that number is 40,000 a year. I recently read some research on it, and perhaps it's been 40,000 for a number of decades. But whatever the number is, even if it's 40 people a year, why don't we want to save those 40 lives or 100 lives? Well, the reason is we value the aspect of being able to have our own personal transportation, the freedom that involves, be able to go where we want, when we want, to see things like only kings and princes could dream of even 100 years ago. In addition to that, we value the efficiency that comes from having transportation services, such as fresh fruit being shipped in from California or Florida or Texas or gotten off the boats from Chile and driven up here from other ports. Those things are valuable to us, as well as getting stuff that we want on the internet or anything we buy here quickly and efficiently. We value those things in life and in society. We feel that we are better off because we have transportation services. And because we have transportation services, we need to have trucks. And because we have trucks, we're going to have roadway deaths. So is it worthwhile just stopping all traffic, all automobile use, all truck use? Well, my guess is no, it's not. It's not worth it whatsoever. And that's why people have preferred over time to continue as they have with having the automobile and the truck. But yet the social leftists are constantly harping on safety. We got to have a safer society, as if somehow we could actually achieve that and still maintain the kind of production in a Star Trek manner without anybody actually having to work at it or actually use trucks or automobiles to get there. I guess when we have transporter beams and we can simply tell a computer to change the order of molecules in dirt and create stakes out of it, it'll be a different story slightly, although I can't imagine we're going to get to that point anytime soon. And I'm not even sure it's attainable, but even then there will be some work, some production, some cost, because all production, all human action, period, entails costs, what economists call opportunity cost, just to some level. So if we have costs in society, there are going to be destruction of property, there's going to be pollution, there's going to be someone being hassled, there's going to be death by accident, and these are just unfortunate costs of life. And although we try to minimize those costs, yet we still face them, and they're essentially unavoidable. So appreciate those comments from P.J. O'Rourke today. Very quick wit and a very interesting man indeed to listen to. Well, we have a number of emails to read today, and I'm going to go ahead and jump into a few of those. Before I do, I want to get to the one interesting story that was off WorldNet Daily this morning, and that story had to do with Evolution Watch. It says, Smithsonian in uproar over intelligent design article. Museum researcher's career threatened after he published favorable piece. The career of a prominent researcher at the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History in Washington is in jeopardy after he published a peer-reviewed article by a leading proponent of intelligent design, an alternative to evolutionary theory discussed by the science and evolution establishment as a tool of religious conservatives. Richard Sternberg says that although he continues to work in the museum's Department of Zoology, he has been kicked out of his office and shunned by colleagues, prompting him to file a complaint with the U.S. Office of Special Counsel. Sternberg charges he was subjected to discrimination on the basis of perceived religious beliefs. I'm spending my time trying to figure out how to salvage a scientific career, Sternberg told David Klinghoffer, a columnist for the Jewish Forward, who reported the story in the Wall Street Journal. Sternberg is managing editor of a nominally independent journal published at the museum, Proceedings of the Biological Society of Washington. His trouble started when he included in the August issue a review essay by Stephen Meyer, who holds a Cambridge University doctorate in the philosophy of biology. Hans Seuss, the museum's number two senior scientist, denounced Meyer's article in a widely forwarded email as unscientific garbage. According to Sternberg's complaint, which is being investigated, one museum specialist chided him by saying, "I think you are a religiously motivated person and you have dragged down the proceedings because of your religiously motivated agenda." I wonder if they drag things down by their religiously motivated agenda of secular humanism. Just an interjection from the Tyranny Response Unit. Sternberg strongly denies that. While acknowledging that he is a Catholic who attends Mass, he said, "I would call myself a believer with lots of questions and about everything. I am in the postmodern predicament." The complaint says the chairman of the zoology department, Jonathan Coddleton, called Sternberg's supervisor to look into the matter. First, he asked whether Sternberg is a religious fundamentalist. She told him no. Coddleton then asked if Sternberg was affiliated or belonged to any religious organization. And then he then asked where Sternberg stood politically. He asked, "Is he a right-winger? What is his political affiliation?" Boy, if you answer any of those questions in just a regular job interview somewhere, you're going to be charged by the left with being politically incorrect and insensitive and be fired, probably, or be reprimanded by somebody. But look at these leftists, these socialists, these Darwinists, whatever these guys are, probably all of the above, get away with murder, literally, in terms of this guy's career. They can do anything they want. Apparently, they're above the law. The story continues. The supervisor recounted the conversation to Sternberg, who also quotes her observing, "There are Christians here, but they keep their heads down." The complaint, according to the journal column, says Coddleton took away Sternberg's office, which prevents access to specimen collections he needs. Sternberg also is assigned to the close oversight of a curator with whom he had a professional disagreement unrelated to evolution. "I'm going to be straightforward with you," said Coddleton, according to the complaint. "Yes, you are being singled out. Meyer's article, The Origin of Biological Information and Higher Taxonomic Categories, cites mainstream biologists and paleontologists from schools such as the University of Chicago, Yale, Cambridge, and Oxford who are critical of certain aspects of Darwinism." Well, isn't that interesting that this poor man, along with Meyer, are being singled out for their views, for having the Christian worldview, or partly the Christian worldview, that Darwinism is false and that we cannot see any kind of macroevolutionary trends where one species becomes another. And that there might actually be intelligent design at the forefront, at the beginning of the origins of all human life and origins of the universe itself. Well, if you have any comments or questions about that, please do give us a call at 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. Remember, if you're not listening between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time, you're listening to recorded broadcast, and we're glad that you are. Emails, however, if you're not during that time, you can't call in, obviously, but emails are welcome 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can send them to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute on the Tyranny Response Network.
You're listening to TRN.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN. The Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Well, we're giving the evolutionists a rough time today on the Tyranny Response Network. The Christian worldview says essentially this, that God created the universe and all that is in it. And I personally believe that it was in six literal days. And somebody said, well, how can it be six literal days? If you look at the Bible accounts, the sun wasn't even there. There was no light. How can you actually have a day if something doesn't revolve around the sun? Look, folks, let me tell you real plain and simple. If you have an omnipotent God who is omnipresent and all-knowing, and he wants to make a day without there being a sun, it's very easy for him to do that. In fact, it's probably, if I could put it in these terms, even easier than creating matter out of nothing. So, folks, don't let the six-day thing really hang you up there. If God chooses to create it in 6 days or 16 days, he's certainly capable of doing it. But at any rate, the Christian worldview says that God created the world, everything that's in it. He orders man as a creature on the planet, and that man continues to serve God or should continue to serve God and think God's thoughts after him. That's part of the Christian worldview. In the Darwinian view, God is out of the picture. We come about in the universe as a result of some random chance process that only occurs one in, you know, some one trillionth of a time, a probability. And all of a sudden, life starts to come together on its own, just miraculously shows up here on the earth, and we eventually evolve. This is a secular humanist tradition, not a Christian worldview. Of course, those who are believers in liberty and political freedom can be either Darwinists or they can be Christians. But I'll have to say this much: the Darwinian view tends towards the Star Trek version of socialism more than the other. In fact, the idea eventually of man controlling his own destiny will spill over into the area of public policy, into the area of politics, where government becomes one of those chief means whereby man controls his own future, whether it's defending himself against aliens or other subspecies or whatever it might be. Man becomes the controller and perfecter of his own lifestyle, his own destiny in the world, in this very postmodern culture. Well, if you have some comments about that or about Darwinism in general, we'll leave it off for now. But if you do have comments or questions about it, please don't fear to give us a call. 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. I have an email here from Gus. I have actually four or five or six emails this morning. I haven't counted through them all yet. Gus writes, he said, the genius of this nation, and this is something from the, he said, John, I had to go back and search this great quote from one of my first revolution books, The Road to Guilford Courthouse by John Buchanan. And this quotation says, the genius of this nation is not in the least to be compared with that of the Prussians, Austrians, or French. You say to your soldier, do this, and he doeth it. But I am obliged to say, this is the reason why you ought to do that, and then he does it. This American characteristic still alive is a precious thing and should be nurtured. And this was a guy named Baron von Steuben. And Gus sent us that quote because he wanted to remind us what Baron von Steuben said to us. And notice what the difference is. In other countries, you just simply say to the soldier, do this, and he does it. But in America, he's obliged to say, this is the reason why you ought to do that. And then he does it. And that's because Americans, at least at their founding, were thinking people. They were not people that simply gave in to tyranny and behaved as slaves, but God blessed them with the ideals of liberty and the idea that man himself, with his reason, can help his estate in the world, and he can improve his lot in life by becoming a reasonable and thinking intelligent person far beyond other peoples of the world. When it came to matters of the state, it didn't just comply and blindly trust what the state might have to say, but instead he would question it. Not necessarily with a rebellious attitude, but bringing into the reality the fact that all men are created by God, but then have a fallen nature. All men cannot be trusted, especially when they have the powers of government, and so they had to be willing to question, apply reason to any political decision and any political actor's choices. So once again, we see, I think, a great characteristic of Americans, and that, you know, if you want us to do something, tell us the reason why, and we'll cheerfully do it. Other than that, we're just not going to be led around like a bunch of slaves. We'd rather, you know, rebel first, revolt against your authority. Interesting comment. Appreciate that comment, Gus. I think it's very helpful. Well, we had a couple of technical glitches earlier on in the show. We apologize for that. We are still working a few things out as we improve and relocate equipment at times. And at any rate, this morning's show, we had a little bit of a technical glitch. So right now we're running up against our first main break of the day. So this is the Christian Worldview program with Dr. John Coben. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben, your Tyranny Response Unit, here dispelling myths, opposing tyranny, and proclaiming liberty throughout the land. That's our job on the Tyranny Response Network. A couple more quotes from P.J. O'Rourke. He says, in this same book, Republican Party Reptile, The Confessions, Adventures, Essays, and Other Outrages of P.J. O'Rourke, neither conservatives nor humorists believe man is good, but left-wingers do. That's neither conservatives nor humorists believe man is good, but left-wingers do. And then another quote from the same book, every generation finds the drug it needs. So true. Well, at any rate, and it doesn't have to be a real drug, by the way, but some other myth, some other fancy, some other activity that avoids reality for people, allows people to avoid seeing what's truly happening around them and live in a mythical world. This is the world of the left-winger. This is the world of the liberal folks. These people live somewhere else. It's not planet Earth. They don't understand that production is required if we're going to have human progress, at least not production as commonly thought by most people, where you go to work, you cause a little pollution, you try to minimize the amount of dirt that you leave, but you leave the place better off than when you started. That is true production. There's no other way we can produce at the moment. But nevertheless, the leftist does not see that kind of a world. He looks at a utopian vision of what society should be like or could be like, if indeed the laws of economics were not operating. They also have a view of man that is different in terms of his intrinsic nature. From a Christian worldview, we look at all men as being fallen creatures, affected by the sin of Adam and Eve, and therefore incapable of not only pleasing God on their own without his divine assistance, but also prone to do damage to his neighbor and prone to do damage to the environment or other things around him. And so we end up seeing here a man himself is a creature that is not morally good. The left does not believe that. Of course, most leftists, at least the ones I know, would deny that sin is even a factor. And even if it exists, it's only an occasional thing and only in certain bad people. And there are many folks who are not affected by its influence, at least not very much. So the left's vision of the world is far different than ours, and the Christian worldview cannot accept this vision of the left and the goodness of man. We're here to dispel that myth, folks, and if you'd like to call in and talk about it, please do so at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We also welcome 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, your questions and comments sent by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. We can receive only phone calls only during the show time, 7:30 to 9 in the morning, Eastern time. Other than that, we welcome your questions and comments sent by email. In fact, we get several emails every day from people far away. Some who live and work in Oklahoma, Ohio, California, Oregon, Florida, Texas. There are people living all over the United States who are listening to this broadcast, and we're very glad that you do. And how do they listen to it? Well, not live yet. Last week we had some glitches trying to get our webcast software working, but we will, Lord willing, have the webcast operative this week so that listeners will be able to listen through the internet all across the world. Of course, we'll let you know on the website, the homepage, which is policyofliberty.net, when that will be occurring, and we'll make an announcement on the show as well. In the meantime, people are listening to the recorded broadcasts. The previous 3 days broadcasts have all been saved and recorded at the homepage, policyofliberty.net. By going there and scrolling down to about the middle of the page, you'll find the links that say click here to play today's broadcast, and that broadcast is posted normally by around 11 o'clock, sometimes as late as 12 or 12:30 in the afternoon on the same day as the show, Eastern Time. So for those listening on the West Coast, usually by 8 o'clock, but sometimes by 9 or 9:30 West Coast time, the latest show will be posted up on the website, and you'll be able to listen there. After listening, you're welcome to send in your questions and comments to questions@policyofliberty.net. Once again, our phone number here in Greenville is 864-201-6955. Your phone calls are welcome to the show. We have another email this morning from Chuck. And Chuck says, "Hi, John. I heard Friday's show by recording. Enjoyed it very much. The discussions about Lincoln have intrigued me, so I found the real Lincoln at the library and am reading it. Thanks for steering me to it. I would steer all of you to Tom DiLorenzo's book, The Real Lincoln." Just a tremendous book, an outrageous book when you think of the outrageous things that Abraham Lincoln did and that DiLorenzo accurately reports about this scoundrel, this leftist, this radical of American history that actually destroyed the foundations of America and brought in a precursor to socialism and a precursor to slavery like no one else. Chuck also says, "A final note, your show has brought around my thinking on socialist security. I had been thinking it was okay to take it, that is Social Security, after paying in, though the program on the whole is really bad. I now believe it would be wrong to receive Social Security, and I do not plan to request it. This is tough, though. How many people can turn down a check for hundreds of dollars each month? This will surely be the commitment of doing right among those who find your argument correct. Kudos, as always, on a fine show." Well, I appreciate the comment, Chuck, on that, because and it is hard to turn away money when somebody's offering it to you. But on the other hand, if you knew that some money was just stolen from your next-door neighbor, you watch the robber go in to, you know, he's maybe the neighbor's on his porch, The guy sticks him up, grabs $500 from the guy out of his, you know, the guy opens his wallet, gives him the money at gunpoint. He walks over to your house and knocks on your door and says, you know, hey, Chuck, or whoever you are, here's $500 I just wanted to give you. Just go ahead and take it. And, you know, it'd be pretty easy if you were had turned a blind eye to the robbery to take it ignorantly. But once you know what's really going on, that we have a Ponzi scheme in effect that that robs from one person and gives to another, the one who works pays for the one who doesn't want to work anymore, then you realize it just isn't right to receive the stolen funds. And here is exactly what is transpiring with Social Security. So I appreciate your commitment to the truth, Chuck. I appreciate your commitment to do what is right, especially those of us who are Christians should lead the way in promoting this worldview of liberty, even though so many other so-called libertarians and so-called constitutionalists and others out there are willing to compromise on this point. I'm not trying to be diabolical or critical or critical in a diabolical way to those of you fellow libertarians or constitutionalists out there, but listen, if you're taking Social Security or taking welfare is receiving stolen funds. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Rationalize it all you want, justify it all you want. There is no ultimate justification for doing this, and as we've covered on previous shows, and I appreciate Chuck's commitment to do what is right in this respect. Well, we come up once again to a short break, and we want to remind you once again to call in at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, or send emails to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute on the Tyranny Response Network.
You're listening to TRN.
Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media, Christian Worldview, with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
It's a show that dispels, and works to dispel at least, tyranny in the great land of America, a land that is inundated now with liberals, inundated with those who seek to take away your freedoms, inundated with those who want to defy the constitutional protections of our rights. And here you have the Tyranny Response Unit on the Tyranny Response Network, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, trying to dispel myths and trying to help establish the truth in this land once again and bring us back to a position of liberty and supporting of the vision of the founding fathers. Gus writes in, he says, John, burned your radio show on a CD early this morning so I could listen going and coming from work today. That's a great idea, Gus. Well, I hope others will have the same compunction to do so. If you go to the policyofliberty.net homepage and right-click on the Today's Show broadcast or Today's Broadcast link, you'll be able to save it to your hard drive, and I suppose then technological wizards that others might be more than I, someone could burn it to a CD and then play it in their MP3 player. And he says, man, did I enjoy the way you sized up that Lincoln. Where can I get that article by Dr. Thomas D. Lorenzo? He's one of my heroes. Well, we always enjoy sizing up Lincoln because some of us have a real passion about it, especially if we're true Southerners like I am from the state of Southern California. That is the true South. As many of you know, my affections are very strongly towards the cause of the South. My fourth son's middle name is Stonewall. I have, even in my office, pictures of Confederates, and I can only imagine what a horror it must have been to be invaded and occupied by an aggressive Northern army built on economic interests and powers that were trying to divide and conquer the spoils from your own nation. But at any rate, when I read the stories about Abraham Lincoln, what affects me even more is that this country had started out on a grand scale of being a people that were based on freedom, religious liberty, and the guaranteed production or guaranteed enforcement of our rights and protection of our rights through the Constitution. Unlike other nations, we believed at the founding that our rights were the gift from God, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or property. And these rights were not granted to us by the state, that we did not look to the state to decide when we would have the right to live or be free or to own property, but instead we said that we have those intrinsically, inherently from God, and that the government was simply created to help us protect those rights. What other nation on the earth had that sort of philosophy? Well, basically none. Even England was not as well developed in its idea. They still had people who were subjects of the king, and the king owned everything, and the kings could decide whether you lived or died, whether you were slave or free. Not in the United States of America. It was to be something very different. Well, that great vision of the founders was absolutely destroyed by the likes of Abraham Lincoln. He was the first one to chop at the tree, at the root. And although it didn't fall over completely until Franklin Delano Roosevelt, I believe, certainly it did fall apart. The initial destruction began with this great traitor of American idea, Abraham Lincoln. The idea of America was for freedom. America's founding was for freedom. And yet we have a man so diabolical, so deceitful, so wicked in almost every way, in both his actions and controlling the military and his policy, that he laid in death, really the death knell to liberty. We became mortally ill as a result of Lincoln's public policy. Well, anyway, he continues on in his email just talking about DiLorenzo. He says, I wanted to see him when he was here in Greenville speaking at the Hyatt over near the place where I work. But it fell on a night that I had to work the next day, so I didn't go. But I'm really enjoying hearing your radio show stuff. Keep up the great work. Oh, one of my friends, a neocon, that's a liberal in so-called conservative clothing, bounced your article on the tsunami scam back to me. When I confronted him on why he bounced it back, he said, soon as I saw who wrote it, I knew it was some wacko thing. I called him a neocon and told him it seemed that real wackos were the ones who continue to believe and trust in this government. I don't think he even understood what I meant, calling him a neocon. He's a friend, so I just let it drop and walked away. Thanks for everything and the great work that you continue to do, Gus. Well, Gus, we all run across neocons in life, and people who believe that they're conservatives and doing the right thing by voting for George Bush, for instance, or by supporting the moral majority or other kinds of institutional arrangements today, political action committees and so forth. But Gus, you need to stand in there firm with these folks. A lot of times people's initial reaction is to resist the truth, and they're not interested in liberty on its face because it just sounds so different than what they're used to. But if we keep gnawing away at them, at their sensibilities, quite often after they hear the truth and the logic of what's true, they will change their minds on various things. And so we'd encourage you to keep up with your friend. Don't let him go. Even though he's a neocon now, there's still hope. After all, some of us had neocon tendencies in the past, didn't we? And by the grace of God, we've been able to overcome them. So I'd encourage you to keep up the good work, Gus. We also have an email this morning from Jane. And Jane says, thank you so much for the quiz you created. I finally have a handle on the differing attitudes of Christians in general, and it helped me clarify my own stance also. I am bewildered, however, by my having both a competing kingdom school thought alongside a strong liberty of conscience belief system. Are these opposing ideas? Well, Jane, they're not opposed whatsoever. The liberty of conscience school is one of the two, the liberty of conscience view is one of the two views inside the competing kingdom school. The two schools of public policy thought among evangelical Christians are the integrated authority school and the competing kingdom school. And then the different views of each one, there are two in each of those schools. Under the integrated authority, you have the theonomist view or the Christian reconstructionist view, and then you have the divine right view, or what I call the revitalized or reshaped divine right of kings view. Under the competing kingdom school model, you have two views, one of which is liberty of conscience. That's the view that I espouse quite dearly. And the other is the pacifist or Anabaptist view. Somebody called in once and said, why are you against Baptists? Well, I'm not. I'm a Baptist. I didn't say anti-Baptist. I said Anabaptist. Anna from the Greek word ana, meaning to do it over again. So the Anabaptists were those who baptized again. They got that nickname from the Catholics and some of the reformers who during the time of the Reformation saw that these people would not accept the infant baptism that was done and instead baptized people again. So at any rate, there is no difference, Jane. In fact, it's not an opposing idea whatsoever. If you are one who holds to liberty of conscience, as you apparently do, the competing kingdom school is your school. Also, Jane, you mentioned this quiz on the front page of Policy of Liberty. It's at the very bottom. If you go to policyofliberty.net, you'll find there a link, couple links. One's called Deep Questions for Dr. Coben Show, which we encourage you to read and respond to by email. Any questions there? There are questions that when I can, read on the show and answer. The other is a link to which public policy view seems right to you. It says, take the quiz. And that's what she's talking about. We would encourage you to take that quiz because it will help do exactly what Jane said, give you a better handle on the differing views available to Christians and which view seems right to you. It's a 15-question quiz with a lot of explanation for a self-guided and self-correcting academic piece. You'll be able to go right through within, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, depending how quick you can answer the questions and get a pretty good idea of where you stand and where other people stand. So we encourage you to go to Policy of Liberty and do that. We come up against a quick break. We're going to be back in just a minute on the Tyranny Response Network. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
And this is Dr. John Coben. I'm hoping to make your day a little better, at least if you're a type that likes to think a little bit, give you something to challenge your thinking this morning on the Tyranny Response Network. This is Christian Worldview. We're glad you tuned in. If you're listening to the show any other time besides 7:30 to 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time, you're listening to recorded broadcasts, and we're happy that you've done so. You won't be able to call in, but please do send us your questions and comments by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. The phone lines are open for a little while longer now, 40 more minutes in today's program, and you can reach us here at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Well, speaking of email, we have some more. We already had several emails this morning. We've got one this morning from Philip, who writes in just briefly. He says, I like your link section on policyofliberty.net. We have a section in there for links to free market think tanks, homeschooling links, creationist links, anti-abortion or pro-life links, and a number of other links to various economics and scholarly journals and currency converters and all sorts of stuff, gold and silver places where you can buy gold and silver or know about gold and silver prices. Anyway, he says he likes the link section of policyofliberty.net. You have the pro-life libertarians linked. How about the pro-life liberty www.constitutionparty.com and www.prolifepac.com? Well, that's a very good point. I do appreciate, Philip, you bringing that up. That link section has not been updated in a while, right there, and it wouldn't be a bad idea for us to add in the Constitution Party, which is a very pro-life movement, as well as the pro-life political action committee .com link. And I appreciate that, Philip, and I will go ahead and see if that gets done here, if possible, sometime this week. Appreciate that email, Philip. Moving on, we have also an email this morning from Chuck, or Charles. And he says, please, hello again, please indulge in a few more thoughts on this matter. First, he says, we can sometimes gain insight into an action by asking ourselves, what if everybody did it? In this case, I think the results would be similar to what happened when the Amish refused Social Security. The tyranny would be more obvious, and because the losses would be greater, the Christian community could be more energized to oppose the theft. Okay, I'm trying to understand your question here, though. I'm going to go ahead and read the second part here in case I need to in order to get the question right. Second, he says, a few years ago, Burt Reynolds made a movie called WW and the Dixie Dance Kings. A key bit of psychology in the film has stuck with me, though I was skeptical about it. The hero, a charming bandit who robbed gas stations, was able to escape capture largely by the strategy of sharing his loot with the attendant. He would hand the guy back $50 of the hundreds just robbed and say, you saw a bad guy, a bald guy, 5'2" and overweight, or some such description, always varying and always very different in his own description. Could people be bought this way? Evidently they can. All the best. Okay, well, I think, Chuck, what you're trying to get at here, maybe I've misunderstood you here, but I think what you're trying to say is, are there other pragmatic ways in which we can help Christians get or be motivated to be involved against the theft on Social Security? In other words, if it's not just a matter of principle for people, but maybe there's some other way that they'd be willing to start being opposed to Social Security and getting them motivated to do so. Well, there are many ways that politicians or revolutionaries, I should say, have tried in the past to get people to conform to a more liberty idea. And it's sad when Christians has to be used outside of the truth in order to turn Christians towards such a strategy. But for instance, in Chile, where they had a socialist Marxist in power in 1970 to 1973 before he committed suicide under threat of violence from the military, which he was trying to overthrow, and led by a good man, by the way, the George Washington of Chile, named Augusto Pinochet. This man is constantly derided by the leftists up here. You always hear that he was a horrible, bad dictator, blah, 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 when in fact he brought prosperity and a great deal of liberty to Chile, whereas they had virtually none before under the socialist. Well, at any rate, one thing they had to do when they took power is find out how to run the economy. And he didn't know. General Pinochet decided, you know, I don't know what I'm doing with the economic system. Let's look at the world and see what we see for experts. It's a small country there. Let's take a look at the Soviet Union instead. How do they do? Well, not so good. Well, what about America? Yeah, they seem to do a little bit better. Let's go ahead and find out some information from them. And so they went to the University of Chicago, which is a quasi-free market school still. And it was even more so then under Milton Friedman and some other influences there. And he essentially brought down some people from there and called them the Chicago Boys. And these Chicago Boys implemented free market reforms in Chile. It was really hard, however, to get rid of a number of people with bad ideas, such as the strong labor unions. The labor unions were so corrupt that they had a system that basically extorted money from employers by forcing them through these unions to pay much higher than market wages. Otherwise, they'd have to be forced out of business. And the wages were so high that the people that were able to get the government job hired what they called a half chicken. I don't know why it's called that in Spanish, medio pollo, but it's what it's called in Spanish, medio pollo. And this guy would actually come in and do the work of the person who got the job and get paid half of his salary. In other words, the guy would say, look, I get my salary is X amount. I'm going to give you one half of X if you come in while I sit around and watch, and you do all my work for me. And that was very common to have these medio pollo people around there. And then it turns out that the wages were still so high for the half chickens that quarter chickens came out, the cuarto pollos. And these kind of people also thought it was worthwhile for them to do the work. And so you had two people end up sitting around and doing nothing pretty much. And then this quarter chicken guy went around and did all the work. Well, it was this kind of inefficiency that came about under the socialist practices of the previous regime and also of the other socialists that came before the guy, the Marxist named Allende, And they had to get rid of this system. It was so popular among folks in Chile that they didn't want to get rid of it. People, even maybe otherwise well-meaning people, liked the paycheck, just like many Americans who are Christians like the government Social Security check. It's very hard to give it up. It's easy to spend someone else's money, to steal other people's money. It's easy to find excuses why we should do so. But at the end of the day, it's just wrong. And as Chuck had pointed out earlier in another email, well, how did they get rid of the quarter chickens and the half chickens and all this other union malarkey in Chile? Well, they decided they had two choices. One way was to just go ahead and shoot people, you know, line them up and kill them or in any way harm them. Another way was simply to pay them off and cut a deal with them. And they thought this was actually a better way to do things. And I believe in the early 1980s or thereabouts, or maybe it was late 1970s, the president approached with his economic advisors, the Chicago Boys, and said, look, we've got $125 million in loot here. We're just going to write you a check, so to speak, for $125 million if you'll all just go away. And the union bosses said, hey, this is a lot of money. We can do well with this, retire forever and be wealthy forever. Let's disband. And they did it. They took the money, and that was itself, you know, stolen funds, tax money that was used, unfortunately. But it's probably in the long run could be argued that it was more efficient to do that kind of thing and get rid of the whole evil system than to maintain it or try to get rid of it by force or reason. Unfortunately, Christians, too, need to be motivated by things like this, payoffs and so forth, in order to do the right thing. And I think that's what Chuck is getting at. Chuck, if I've missed something on your email here, if this wasn't what you were really going for, it's a pragmatic approach is to get Christians to do the right things. And please send me an email back, and we'll discuss it further. We come up against another break again. This is the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to the show. We want to start this last segment of the show with, again, some quotes from P.J. O'Rourke, the famous libertarian humorist who claims to be part of the Republican Party for some reason. I think he also feels rather stunned being there himself. He says in a book called Holidays in Hell, or actually this one has come the Republican Party Reptile, Confessions, Adventures, Essays, and Other Outrages of P.J. O'Rourke, that fishing is a sport invented by insects, and you are the bait. Fishing is a sport invented by insects, and you are the bait. He also says in another book called Holidays in Hell, there are a lot of mysterious things about boats, such as why anyone would get into one voluntarily. And other quotes from the same book, Holidays in Hell, he says, war exists as long as there's a food chain, And civilization is an enormous improvement on the lack thereof. Civilization is an enormous improvement on the lack thereof. Some people don't believe that. You know, some people are anti-business, anti-civilization, want to go and live in the trees and, you know, collect nuts and berries or fish with our bare hands or whatever it might be, go without medical care, without education. They think that's somehow an improvement. This is the dementia. This is the folly. This is the insanity. This is what is caused by the public education system in the United States today. I call it public education because that's what they call it. In reality, it's the government school. It's the indoctrination center of the left. It's the indoctrination center of the environmentalists, the Darwinists, the alternative lifestyle advocates, the feminists, the liberal of its worst variety. This is where bad ideas start, folks, and this is where people are indoctrinated to go against what is true and hold what is false. If you've got your children in the public school, if you're any way affiliated with the government school, I think you're wrong from a Christian worldview. You need to abandon that. I'm not saying that you know you're sinning when you're going there or doing something with the public school. I don't think it's a willful sin necessarily. A lot of people just don't realize how bad the public school is, and I don't know how that could be. But because there's so much is written about it and so much is known about it popularly in the press. But at any rate, if you are in that situation, we would encourage you to think again about your Christian duty and get away from that institution, because it is absolutely the devil's workshop. And they are the ones who are teaching this nonsense about civilization being a bad thing. I also have we also have been doing a bit with some homeschoolers, at least in my house. In my home, we have a very unusual high school program where we end up using the college-level examination programs. So the students end up studying the main subjects of Spanish, of English, history, and the different sciences like chemistry, biology, and mathematics, so forth. They do so having the final exam being the CLEP exam. And the CLEP exam is like the AP program, and it gives you credit about 2,300 different colleges. So that by the time my students get out of their homeschool program, they effectively are college sophomores or college juniors. And one course they're all required to take, and it may be no surprise to you, is economics. They take a course in microeconomics and in macroeconomics, and then take the CLEP exam at some point in their high school careers, high school slash college or early college careers. One of the books we've been reading is The Economic Way of Thinking, which is a standard textbook by Paul Heyne. That's spelled H-E-Y-N-E. Encourage you to get a copy of this if you want to have a very good basic text on economic theory. It's although I ascribe to the Austrian school of economics principally, this particular book is very helpful as far as a mainstream book. Probably is the best economics textbook out there for beginners, for freshmen in college. We thought we might just read a couple times on a week, maybe a question out of here, because I think Christians tend to be very ignorant of economic theory, and I think this might be somewhat interesting for our audience on Christian Worldview to think a little bit more economically and help dispel some of the myths that they hear in public policy. Well, in chapter one of this particular book, there's a question that goes as follows. At the present time, U.S. commercial airlines will carry an infant under the age of two at no charge if the infant sits on the app of the fare-paying adult, but will charge for an extra seat if the plane is full and the parents want the child placed in a child restraint seat. If the government requires that all infants fly in child restraint seats, the infant will have to have a ticket of its own to make sure that the seat is available. Should the government impose such a requirement? There is no real choice about the matter, some have argued, because a child's life is of far more value than the price of an airline ticket. Do you agree with that argument? What are the actual alternatives? So just to sum up again, you got a choice of having the child sit in the mother's lap, or the child getting his own seat and being able to sit in a child restrained seat there more securely with his own seatbelt. The cost is going to roughly double, or at least go up by some proportionate amount for the child to have his own particular seat, but that would be better because the child would be slightly safer. Well, the economic fallacy of such a policy, of course, and people are going to claim, well, see, how can you measure the value of the child's life by saying it's not worth the $200 or $300 to put him in his own seat? Well, the fact of the matter is, folks, this is the fallacy of it. First of all, you cannot avoid all the risks in life. It's not economically feasible for us to do so. Although we try to minimize risk and the possibility of loss, we cannot possibly eliminate it completely in life. There's still going to be accidents. But on airplanes, folks, guess what? This kind of public policy is very insane and inane and obtuse because they don't realize that when a plane actually crashes, whether or not you have a seatbelt on is of little consequence. For the most part, if a plane crashes, you're going to die. It doesn't matter whether you're buckled in or not. Maybe there's one chance in 1,000 or something like that where the having the seatbelt on actually matters. And it would be better in general, to have the thing on there because of that very low probability that it might actually help save a life. But is it actually worth the cost of doing so? You see, this is really an insurance problem, folks. Most these kind of questions of policy have to do with insurance questions. And what we can see is in this particular case, the cost of the insurance policy is the price of the airline ticket. Are you willing to buy insurance to insure against everything? Well, in this particular case, we see it's not always worthwhile to pay the premium. The premium here is to buy an extra plane ticket to give yourself that added little protection that if in the 1 in 1,000 chance the plane goes down and the seatbelt really matters, you'd actually been able to save a life. Folks, it's just not worth that kind of insurance. We don't go out of our way and buy every possible insurance product to insurance against every little possible catastrophe. And that's why, though these liberal arguments sound good and on the surface, they seem like they would be reasonable. Of course, the child's life is worth more than the plane ticket. It still doesn't make sense economically for us to impose a policy that forces people to buy this kind of insurance because that's really all that it is. So hopefully that's been helpful for some of you listening and trying to learn how to think economically. Maybe 2 or 3 times a week or more, we'll pull a question out of this fundamental textbook and help you who aren't listening to Christian Worldview think about economics in a better way. We've got a short break we need to go to right now. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Well, today's been really rough on your brain if you've got a soft brain and aren't used to thinking. If you've been watching the TV too long, that is the effect, unfortunately. Listen, one reason I don't have a TV in the house is I don't need to be preached to by fools and people which are bedlams and rogues and those who are on the liberal side. I don't care if it's Bill O'Reilly or even more liberal. Bill O'Reilly is sort of a centrist, maybe a moderate, maybe just a little bit leftist-centered. Rush Limbaugh is probably right in the middle. We are on the right side of the spectrum, folks. We believe in liberty, freedom, limited government, and peace. We're not warmongers here. We're not those who promote what you often hear on the muddle-headed mush that you often hear on the mainstream networks. If you're used to that kind of thinking, that kind of light and airy, superficial reasoning, then this has been a really tough day for you because we've been discussing some issues which are a lot deeper than that. Well, I have a book here that I've been reading, which I recommend to all of you, called Constitutional Income, Do You Have Any? Constitutional Income, Do You Have Any? The second edition, published or written by a man named Phil Hart. The press it comes from is Alpine Press. I would encourage you to get this book because it does give us some very interesting insights into the 16th Amendment, taxation, and so forth, issues of great importance to American Christians. There are a couple of quotes in here I thought I would read which don't necessarily relate to income and taxation, although I'm happy to talk about that on Christian Worldview. Just more generally about philosophy of liberty and so forth. On page 50, for instance, quoting a United States senator named Mr. Heflin, and I believe this man was from Alabama, a senator from Alabama in 1909, and he says, "Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between..." I guess he was in the House, not in the Senate, excuse me. "I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life and his efforts to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen in the name of law, commits its crime against humanity." I don't know who this guy is exactly, Mr. Heflin, but from Alabama, but he needs to be enshrined. I mean, this guy has hit the nail right on the head that the robbers out in the criminal world, so to speak, in the market for criminals, take their own chances, but government agents who rob, and the gang that government has become, or the state has become, are simply just another bunch group of thugs that rob us in the name of legality and other virtuous things. And they plunder, as he said, you hold up and plunder the citizen in the name of law, and they commit a crime against humanity. Tremendous quote. Appreciate his remark there. As I said, he should be enshrined, put on web pages, put on quote pages, as being one of the great American people that have been involved with politics. Of course, he was opposed and probably didn't do well in general amongst his colleagues of the thugs. Another quotation from the Congressional Record on page 58, from this one, from a Senator Borah. And he says, "The history of taxation is well worthy of the attention of those who believe that in order to maintain a republic, we must always have at the base of our civilization an intelligent, free, and to some extent unburdened citizenship." In other words, not too many taxes. So the history of civilization, according to this fellow, this senator, is if we're going to have a free society, we've got to have low taxes, and we've got to have intelligent and free citizenry. So in other words, we maintain our rights, have as outlined at least in the Declaration of Independence and the First Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights, First Ten Amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And in addition to that, we have to be intelligent. We have to be thinking people. It's dullards, it's dumb people, it's fools, it's the unintelligent, the unthinking that are easily led astray by those who would play mischief, and those who would be malicious, those who would deny your rights. That's why we have the Tyranny Response Network, folks, to help you think, to help us bring back especially the Christian people from the gullible abyss which they've fallen into, where they readily run and vote for cowards like George W. Bush, for imposters like George W. Bush, for those in the Bush on the Bush side of things who see the world as just part of the New World Order and that can get away with political and economic murder, where people end up losing rights and facing larger tax burdens and larger government and more intrusive government, whether it be putting GPS systems on your car to track where you are legally or having longer lines at the airport so the TSA can do its fondling maneuver. These things are now a part and parcel of the Bush administration, not to mention all of the mayhem he causes and death he permits through murder by abortion. Folks, if you voted for George Bush, you made a mistake. You weren't a thinking Christian. You're one who was sold on this false argument that pragmatism outweighs the principle and that we need to vote for somebody on pragmatic grounds so that John Kerry does not get elected, believing somehow, hoping against hope, that George Bush would come through and be the champion of truth, of liberty, and of Christian values. Folks, you're finding out it's not the case. You've been duped. I hate to tell you if you voted for George Bush. You sinned if you voted for George Bush, as I've said many times before, and that's coming out now. It's coming more clear. He's showing his true colors again, as if you didn't get enough the first 4 years. You're going to find out now he's not going to prove any different or any better. We needed to vote for somebody with principle, and that was Michael Badnarik or Michael Perutka instead of the charlatan, demagogue, George W. Bush. Well, at any rate, That book, Constitutional Income, Do You Have Any? By Phil Hart, second edition from Alpine Press. I would recommend it. It's an excellent book. The man has an MBA from Wharton School of Business, obviously an intelligent guy, writes fairly well, and it's pretty easy to follow the argument in there. You'll never think about the 16th Amendment incomes or income taxes the same again after you've had a chance to read that book. We're coming up against another break again here shortly. And I just want—I have one more email I want to read before the close of the show today. I just want to remind you, if you want to call in and get on the show live, you're welcome to do so at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You can also send 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, comments and questions by email to us at questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Please do visit policyofliberty.net. You'll find there books and articles that I've written, the Tyranny Response Unit, John Coben, as well as quotations for liberty and many other interesting things to feast your eyes and ears upon. So visit. Make sure to visit today, policyofliberty.net, and encourage the show. Send a supportive email or a question or comment, even a criticism of things that you've heard today, to questions@policyofliberty.net. The show is also a commercial-free show, and we are in pursuit and welcoming any donors, people who are regularly willing to support the show financially. And if you're interested in doing so, even if it's just $10 a month or a one-time gift of $100 or some such thing, please send a comment to questions@policyofliberty.net and help keep this show on the air, since it's a largely volunteer effort and we are in need of funding from those who love liberty and from Christians who are thinkers. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Welcome back to the show. We are in disinfecting the modern mainstream media. I've just got to read this quotation again from United States Senator or perhaps Congressman from Alabama, Mr. Heflin, and he says, "Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come under and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his efforts to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits its crime against humanity." That's just one of the best quotes I think I've ever read. And it warms my heart to see that once in a while you get a senator or a congressman in there who actually promotes the truth and promotes liberty. Well, the final email I wanted to read today is a rather lengthy one. It's sort of a humorous one, and it comes from Gus. He said, "John, you may have seen this before, but if not, it would be good fodder for your radio show." And I think he's right. He's quoting this thing from a Georgia senator, apparently, Mitchell Kaye, who apparently wrote this, is a state representative from Georgia, who wrote this following a parody on the Bill of Rights, or Oh, on the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. Anyway, he says, "We, the sensible people of the United States, in an attempt to help everyone get along, restore some semblance of justice, avoid more riots, keep our nation safe, promote positive behavior, and secure the blessings of a debt-free liberty to ourselves and our great-great-great-grandchildren, hereby try one or more time to ordain and establish some common-sense guidelines for the terminally whiny, guilt-ridden, delusional, and other bedwetters. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that a whole lot of people are confused by the Bill of Rights and are so dim they require a Bill of Non-Rights, Article 1 of the Bill of Non-Rights. You do not have the right to a new car, a big-screen TV, or any form of other form of wealth. More power to you if you can legally acquire them, but no one is guaranteeing anything. Article 2, you do not have the right to never be offended. This country is based on freedom, and that means freedom for everyone, not just you. You may leave the room, turn the channel, express a different opinion, etc., but the world is full of idiots and probably always will be. Article 3, you do not have the right to be free from harm. If you stick a screwdriver in your eye, learn to be more careful. Do not expect the tool manufacturer to make you and all your relatives independently wealthy. Article 4, you do not have the right to free food and housing. Americans are the most charitable people to be found and will gladly help anyone in need, but we are quickly growing weary of subsidizing generation after generation of professional couch potatoes who achieve nothing more than the creation of another generation of professional couch potatoes. Article 5, you do not have the right to free health care. That would be nice, but from the looks of public housing, we're just not interested in public health care. Article 6, you do not have the right to be physically harm other people. If you kidnap, rape, intentionally maim, or kill somebody, don't be surprised if the rest of us want to see you fry in the electric chair. Article 7, you do not have the right to the possessions of others. If you rob, cheat, or coerce away the goods or services of other citizens, don't be surprised if the rest of us get together and lock you in a place where you still won't have the right to be to a big screen, color TV, or a life of leisure. Article 8, you do not have the right to a job. All of us sure want you to have a job and will gladly help you along in hard times, but we expect you to take advantage of the opportunities of education and vocational training laid before you to make yourself useful. Article 9, you do not have the right to happiness. Being an American means that you have the right to the pursuit of happiness, which, by the way, is a lot easier if you are unencumbered by an overabundance of idiotic laws created by those of you who were confused by the Bill of Rights. Article 10, this is an English-speaking country. We don't care where you're from. English is our language. Learn it or go back wherever you came from. Article 11, you do not have the right to change our country's history or heritage. This country was founded on the belief in one true God, and yet you are given the freedom to believe in any religion, any faith, or no faith at all, with no fear of persecution. The phrase, "In God we trust," is part of our heritage and history, and if you're uncomfortable with it, tough. If you agree, he said, share this article with a friend. If you don't, no, you don't have to. Nothing tragic will befall you if you don't. Just think about it from time. I just think it's about time for common sense to be allowed to flourish. And though that's a very interesting parody, it's very humorous. Appreciate that that you sending that to us, Gus. Here at the Tyranny Response Network, we are always looking for good information, good news, whether it be lighthearted like this one, this little piece is, or things from P.J. O'Rourke, or more serious pieces, as we said, from economic theory. If you find a good column that you're reading, whether it's by somebody we know is always good, like Walter Williams, a person I studied under when I did my own doctorate, or Thomas Sowell, or anywhere else, Joseph Sobran, if you see something that's interesting, go ahead and email it. If you find something interesting on the internet or in a book that you're reading that you think would be interesting to share on the show with thinking people, with Christians, that would allow Christians and others to improve their thinking skills and think about society, public policy, economics in a better way, in a more Christian way, by all means, send it in. We started the show today talking about the persecution of this person who is opposed to Darwinian forms of evolution and the whole idea of Darwinism. He's supporting this new school called Intelligent Design as a Roman Catholic. Well, it's very interesting for the Christian worldview. If you find articles either for or against evolution that would have some bearing on the Christian worldview, we'd encourage you to send those to us by email, and perhaps we'll be able to put them on the show and encourage other people or help other people to think better. Again, the email address for the show is questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. we're running up towards the end of the show today, and we have appreciated that you've tuned into the show and have been able to be a faithful listener. If you've been listening for a long time here, long time meaning 3 weeks. This is 3 weeks and one day we've completed here, folks. We're grateful for the opportunity we had to not only be a service to Greenville, but to all of those who listen to recorded broadcasts on the web. I'd invite you once again to take advantage of the things that are on the front page of Policy of Liberty, as well as the rest of the website. There are books and articles which I've written. For instance, my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, is available at the website for purchase. Encourage the show and support us by going ahead and buying some of the tracts we have on Allodialism or Bible and Government, Free Market Economics. And if you have people that speak Spanish, there are a number of things they can acquire there in Spanish as well. On the front page of policyofliberty.net, you'll find a couple of PDF files you can download and read through your Adobe Acrobat Reader. One is called Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's Radio Show, 17 questions that all Christians should be thinking about. Download that stuff and read it. Think about it. Also, take a look at the quiz at the bottom of the page that'll help you define which public policy perspective, Christian public policy perspective, seems right to you. Think about what public policy means to you. It's not just a given. It's not just easy, especially if you're a pastor. Pastors are the most ignorant people I've seen when it comes to public policy. Inform yourselves. Don't teach your congregation things that are wrong. At least have an understanding what the Bible has to say in a more deep sense, more culturally and historically sensitive sense. I use that not in the modern use of the word sensitive, by the way, but it'll help to help you understand and be able to promote the truth in your own congregations. Don't be an ignorant pastor that leads your flock astray when it comes to public policy concerns. We're thankful that you've been tuned in with us this morning on the Tyranny Response Network. This has been Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back again Tuesday morning with another edition of Christian Worldview. We'll see you then. God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.